Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The parable of the Good Samaritan is a well-known story even today. We have hospital helicopters and nursing homes named after the Good Samaritan in this story. And what people often get out of it, perhaps at the first greeting, is we're supposed to love everyone. We should love those around us. And certainly we should learn this from this parable. We should learn that we should love anyone, whoever they are, wherever we meet them, wherever God brings them into our path. And they are in need, we love them and care for them. But there's more to this story than just that. This story is also about the love of God for us. In fact, we should see that first. And from that love, then we love others. So, in order to understand this, we need to go to the context for this story. And we get that context in our reading for today. Here, a lawyer comes to Jesus to test him. So he is not coming in faith to Jesus. He's not coming to Jesus looking for answers for himself that he does not know. He's not coming searching. He's coming as the one who believes that he knows and he understands, and Jesus needs to be examined. This man is the teacher. Jesus is the student. Jesus needs to be tested to see whether he understands what the law says. And so he asks Jesus, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus turns the question right back at him and says, "Well, what does the law say?" The lawyer answers, and Jesus tells him that he has answered correctly. "You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." But then the lawyer goes on. Now he's moved on from testing Jesus, it seems, to testing himself. He asks Jesus now, desiring to justify himself, "And who is my neighbor?" He asks this question wanting to see if he's right, if he's justified, if he's okay, if he's good, if he has actually loved his neighbor as himself, and if he can correctly define and understand who exactly it is that he has to love, then perhaps he can justify himself. He can say, "I'm good, I'm okay, I've loved all the people that the law says I'm supposed to love." And indeed, if you could have a very limited group of people that you had to love, then maybe you could think that you could fulfill the law. You could love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Jesus doesn't give him a neat list of people to love. Instead, he tells him a story. This story of the Good Samaritan. There's a man who is beaten and lying half dead on the side of the road. And along comes a priest. Now, we might expect that he would help the man. And indeed, a lawyer who understands the law of God would expect that someone who is in this official capacity, who should know the law of God as well, this priest, should help him. He should be a hero in the story. But he's not. Then a Levite comes by. He, too, should be a hero. He's from the priestly class, the priestly tribe. And he, too, passes by. But then along comes a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans and the Jews did not get along. Ethnic tensions are not a new thing here or in the Middle East. And this Samaritan is the one who stops and binds up his wounds and lays him on his donkey and takes him to an inn to have him taken care of and provides for his continued care. And the Samaritan is the hero of the story. He's the one who helps the man. And then Jesus ends the story by asking a question. He says, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" Now, this is an interesting question because Jesus asks it a little differently from what we might expect based on the lawyer's question. The lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? Who am I supposed to help? So we might expect that Jesus would ask, who acted like this man beaten was his neighbor? Who treated this man as his neighbor? But no, instead he asks it differently. Because to ask it that way, to say, hey, who treated this man like his neighbor, would be to put the lawyer in the place of the Samaritan. And to say, hey, you're supposed to go and help everybody that you meet on the road. Anyone who's in trouble. Even if they're your enemy. And certainly we should do that. But Jesus flips it around. He asks, who was a neighbor to the man who was beaten by robbers? Who acted like that man's neighbor? In other words, putting the lawyer in the place of the man lying beaten on the side of the road. When the man is asking, who's my neighbor? He's saying, hey, look, the Samaritan is your neighbor. You're the one lying beaten on the side of the road, and somebody else comes and helps you out. You see, perhaps what Jesus is doing is he is pointing out to this lawyer who thinks that he knows the law of God really well, who thinks that he can come and test Jesus, who thinks that he can justify himself. Perhaps Jesus is pointing out to him that he's the one who needs to be helped, that he's the one lying on the side of the road, and that he needs to have somebody else come along and help him. And who is that someone else? Someone he might least expect, and that is Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God who has come to die for this lawyer's sins, to pay for them, to make him his own, to wash him. This man is the one who needs the love of God, who needs to receive God's love first and to be made alive in Christ, to be made new. Now, Jesus does conclude this story by saying, go, you go, and do likewise. And it is true that this man, and really any person, who is made alive in Christ, who is given new life in Jesus, though we were dead in our trespasses and sins, that we who are made alive then go and do likewise. Just as Christ has sacrificed for us, so we love others. We love because he first loved us, Scripture says. And so we go and do likewise. But we have to first understand that we were the helpless man on the side of the road, unable to help ourselves, and that Jesus is the one who has come and shown us mercy and loved us. Jesus points that out to all people. Whether we are at times like this lawyer, who think that we know everything and that we're all good and that we can justify ourselves, that we can defend ourselves and our actions and how we've lived, and we think we're good. To those, it has to be pointed out that we are like this man. But then there are times in our lives when we are broken like that man. We realize that we are like that. That we know our sins and our faults and our failings. We know that we've done wrong, and we know that we cannot help ourselves. No matter how much we try to do something new and do something different, we still sin against others. We still fail to get all the things done we're supposed to get done. We still fail to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, and most important, fail to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in those times when we realize that we are like that man, then we run to our Lord, who, like the Good Samaritan, binds up our wounds, forgives us of our sins, feeds us with his body and blood, taking us to the inn of his church, where we are fed and sustained and nourished. And so then we can pray, just as we sang in our hymn in the last verse, words like these. In suffering be thy love my peace, in weakness be thy love my power. And when the storms of life shall cease, O Jesus, in that final hour, be thou my rod and staff and guide, and draw me safely to thy side. Now may the peace of God, that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.